Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicky Barker. From the International Space Station, back to planet Earth.
Really just a flawless and beautiful descent of Starliner.
Boeing's troubled Starliner spacecraft successfully landed in the New Mexico desert a few hours ago without the two astronauts it was supposed to be taking home. CBS Space consultant Bill Harwood says isolating the cause of Starliner's technical issues may never happen.
The service module, the kind of snare drum shaped white structure behind the crew module, that burns up in the atmosphere intentionally. They jettison it and it burns up. And that's the component that had the thrusters and the helium leaks. So they're never going to get a chance to put eyes on that hardware to figure out with 100% certainty what caused these problems in the first place.
The astronauts will be hitching a ride home on a SpaceX craft in February. Officials in New York say they have foiled what could have been a major terror attack timed for the one-year anniversary of the October 7th massacres in Israel. CBS's Nancy Cordes has more on the Pakistani national now in custody.
This suspect allegedly told the undercover officers that he chose New York City because it has, quote, the largest Jewish population in America and, quote, we could easily rack up a lot of Jews. He is charged with one count of attempting to provide support to terrorists.
The White House is demanding an investigation into the killing of an American woman who is protesting against Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, a Palestinian territory much larger than the Gaza Strip. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer reports from Israel.
Aysenor Agee was 26 and raised in Seattle. She'd come to Israel to volunteer in the West Bank, which is a war zone. The UN says more than 600 people have been killed here since last October. Ayla Agee had no experience of this kind of violence.
Israel says it is investigating her death. It's the women's final at the U.S. Open tennis tournament in New York later today.
Sixth-seeded American Jessica Pegula bids for her first Grand Slam title when she takes on second-seeded Belarusian Arina Sabalenka. For Pegula, the game plan is simple.
I have to be aggressive. I have to get her moving, serve smart, and, you know, try and put some pressure on her return or on her serve and, you know, play my game.
Sabalenka is 5-2 lifetime against Pegula, but she's not taking her opponent lightly.
She had a lot of great battles in the past, really difficult, tight matches, and she playing really incredible tennis.
Sabalenka is playing in her second straight U.S. Open final. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News, New York.
The men's single final is tomorrow. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
People in rural Wisconsin are more likely to prefer unpasteurized dairy products. More from Mike Mohn.
Supporters of raw milk say it is a much better flavor than pasteurized milk. But public health officials say the untreated product has been linked to illness outbreaks over the years. A public opinion survey led by the University of Pennsylvania Sean Patterson shows differing views when factoring in geographical settings about whether it's okay to consume raw milk.
People living in rural areas thought that raw milk was safer overall than people living in the suburbs or in urban environments.
Only a third of rural respondents thought raw milk was less safe to drink versus about half of urban respondents. Meanwhile, an outbreak of bird flu in dairy cattle is highlighting the issue. Infected cows can shed the virus into their milk, sparking fear of transmission to humans. Patterson notes that mainstream scientists have found no evidence that pasteurization alters the nutritional value of milk, but myths persist that it does.
Pasteurization doesn't change the nutritional value of milk. It doesn't significantly change the taste of milk, and so the risks really don't outweigh any of the benefits.
Patterson says there has been an uptick in demand for unpasteurized milk in recent years. He says social media could be one reason, and that future research would test that hypothesis. The Food and Drug Administration prohibits the interstate sale of unpasteurized milk. States make their own rules for milk that doesn't cross state lines. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting by Tim Marima for the Daily Yonder.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the mid to upper 60s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 45. Sunshine, 75 for your Sunday. Sunday night, clear mid 50s. Monday, a little warmer, low 80s on tap, and 82 for Tuesday.
It's 39 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinair returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, penny cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Arvina Martin here on with Emerge Wisconsin, and just our all-around political fun person to talk to. Welcome, Arvina. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me. Happy Wednesday.
Yes, I see what you did there. Happy Wednesday. You are a pro. And I always have to say that you are one of the best because State Representative Heather Keeler does listen to the show. So I can't, you know, it's just like telling your child you're my favorite, but don't tell your sister.
Wink.
You know?
Wink.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, no shade to the honorable representative. I'm sure she is. Actually, I have listened to some of her episodes, or do we call these episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Reposonic.
Yeah. And she is also, she's fantastic.
Yeah, she really, truly is. We're blessed to have her on, and geez, watch her grow in the political realm here in Minnesota and become such a leader. We are really blessed. She's a well-spoken Native and really for her people here, as you are, as being. I like to bring it up every once in a while, a little bit of your bio, but, you know, what caught my attention is, one, your Ho-Chunk, which is a good thing, and the other. Yeah. And the second thing was that you were what we call city council member here in Minnesota. You were the first Madison, Wisconsin Native American woman city council member. And that's just amazing to hear because I love Madison and Madison's progressive. And I see you around all the Wisconsin Democratic stuff and people really know and respect you. And I've seen you in action. So we here are blessed to have you on Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much. You're going to make me get all teary.
Well, it is an emotional thing, and it's an emotional time, too. We had our powwow this past weekend. You were missed. And yeah, I know you had a little FOMO. I saw that on Facebook, but, you know, taking care of business like you do in a good way.
Yep. I had, for folks that didn't hear, I had been exposed to COVID, and so I was trying to do the responsible thing and stay at home so not to potentially pass on any germs to any of our friends and relatives, particularly our elders or any immunosuppressed folks, or I don't want to pass it on, so I stayed home. I was responsible.
Yeah, and it's amazing, too. I was at the state fair in Minnesota, and what was amazing about that, Arvina, was that they had record days. They had 200,000 people. It was really people-y, and I'm thinking, geez, I should be wearing a mask here because I'm 2 inches away from somebody I don't even know. So I really appreciate what you do for our community, and also especially our elders and the people that are possibly prone to getting COVID.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of the right thing to do, I guess, even though that meant I was sitting at home all by myself instead of powwowing it up with everybody and going to the amazing programming that was happening, that the Democratic Party and folks were having in conjunction with the powwow.
Yeah, they had the day before I came on Monday, and the day before I believe they had Cook there, and that's awesome to talk business and you know, teach our white allies what it's like to be Ho-Chunk and Native in this country, and we need all the allies we can get.
Absolutely. And you know, the district that Rebecca Cook is looking to represent is, I believe, the Wisconsin's third congressional district, currently a seat held by Derek Van Orden, who is a guy who has been scolded for yelling at high school students and college students that are pages on the Senate floor. He has yelled at public librarians. He's not a great dude. And so having somebody like Rebecca Cook, who, you know, I know that she has, she's a waitress, you know, she understands, you know, the problems that regular folks are going through, and she's doesn't yell at random children that she happens to come across.
Right. And it's good when we have politicians in either state or anywhere in nationally to reach out to us and want to discuss things like she did. Mm-hmm. That's huge. That's huge for us. That's huge for them. And it's the government to government thing that we talk about that we would lose with this project 2025 because of our sovereignty.
Oh, absolutely. And you're absolutely right about candidates coming out to events that where there are Native people and where Native people are the majority, and to kind of put themselves into a different community shows than they are usually prone to participate in, for lack of a better term, at the top of my head. Excuse me. But, you know, it really helps strengthen both those government to government ties, because they are meeting with government officials, but at the same time meeting with folks that we would consider grassroots or grass tops folks, just the regular everyday people, and understanding that you need to talk to the people and you need to talk to the tribal government, and you absolutely 100% need to do both if you are going to represent that community in an appropriate way.
Absolutely. And while you were speaking, I was thinking what's really changed here in Minnesota has, you know, our relatives and we're with good reason really get bothered by politicians when they only come by for their votes. But I really believe that hasn't been the case these last 4 to 6 years here in Minnesota, especially with the governor and lieutenant governor visiting the 11 nations here in Minnesota on a constant basis.
Yeah. And, you know, that's such an important part of understanding what your legislation is doing in the communities that you are trying to serve. You have to be in those communities. You can't just go visit them, you know, in order to get votes or to get money to run for office further. You need to see the impacts that your policy, that your policy agenda is having on the community or many communities, because the impact isn't always going to be the same. And perhaps visiting a community like Native communities in Wisconsin or Minnesota, you know, you're getting a completely different snapshot than if you are looking at, you know, rural central Wisconsin or looking at, you know, very urban Milwaukee. I mean, it's just a completely different, you know, community of people. And just it's showing a I hate the term cultural competency, because I feel like that's selling it so short, but a form of understanding how our communities work and knowing that you need to be there and be present in order for that to, for your work to really, you know, for you to make sure that you're making the best decisions for the community, because you're aware of what the issues are, what people are talking about, because you've been present.
Yeah, and we really, really appreciate that. And that makes my job easier. I think your job easier, too, in a lot of respects, that, you know, we just aren't used for votes, because we have changed a lot of elections in the last couple cycles. And that's exciting to be a part of that. Hey, I'm here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And we're going to be right back after this short break. Blake, the short break. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to try out a little personal finance quiz. Are you ready? Here we go. Which phrase best completes this sentence? I can find out where I'm spending too much money by A, buying less expensive things, B, setting a financial goal, or C, tracking what you buy. If you guess C, you are 100% correct. The best way to figure out where you're spending money that you don't have to is by tracking your spending. Just take a look at your bank account and your credit card statements today. See what you notice. Anything pop out at you? Tracking like that helps you make more informed choices about your goals and your spending. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube, or you can text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we have our friend Arvina Martin, not only our friend, but a Ho-Chunk sister here, and we are the people of the Sacred Voice. I like to use this is radio, but I like to use my hand and my arm when I say Sacred Voice, you know, but we have the Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and I want to talk a little bit about this organization, and because we're really excited to amplify what you do, and Arvina, and let's talk a little bit about Emerge and what's coming up.
Yeah, so Emerge Emerge Wisconsin, rather, is a part of a larger Emerge network where we have affiliates in 26 states. So if you are listening anywhere in Indian country, you know, we could possibly have an affiliate in your state. And I run the Wisconsin affiliate, and we are an organization that recruits and trains Democratic women and non-binary folks that feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. It's a six-month training, and you get the whole gamut, everything from, you know, learning how to put together a doors list, or learning how to, you know, put together a good fundraising ask so you can raise money to help your campaign, how to put together the perfect elevator speech or a stump speech that you can give and really make sure that your message is getting across. This is training that you know, it's really valuable. If you are even considering running for office, you should very much consider applying for Emerge, either in your state, in Wisconsin in particular. Our applications here in Wisconsin are open now and will be open through November 17th. But don't hesitate, get yourself in right away, we can start the interview process, and I'm really, really looking forward to making sure that we have Native women and Native folks represented in all of our classes, because hasn't been the case previously.
You know, it was interesting. We had a talk. We talked a little bit about this before the show, that we were with Sharice Davids and the vice president of Ho-Chunk Nation, Daniel DeLong, and I, we're on a panel. And one of the things that she said that was very interesting about being a congressperson was that once she was elected, she was kind of blown away by the fact that, you know, everyone put their foot in one pair of pants at a time, just like everyone else, and how she felt like she belonged. And I think we for whatever reasons, we put the politicians on a godlike status and that we couldn't do that. And that's not the case at all.
Yeah, I mean, it is really important to remember that the people that represent you at every level of office are just as human as you are. And I think that it makes it, that realization makes it you realize how important voting is in general. And how we are all just looking to pick some one of us to represent all of us at this particular level of government, in her case, in Congress. And that people that serve in Congress are not necessarily, you know, multimillionaires. You know, here in Wisconsin, we've got a multimillionaire California dude trying to run it for Senate against Tammy Baldwin, you know. Then we have Tammy, who has, you know, been a public servant for the majority of her adult life. You know, it's a different like set of circumstances that lead to different worldviews, and you know, considering all of those things about a person is really important. And when you're coming to a decision regarding your vote and how you're going to cast your ballot.
Absolutely. And I believe people that have been alive shortchange themselves a lot. If you connect the dots backwards of what your experience is, whether it's a teacher or working for other political people or canvassing or knowing, or just knowing, being a good student and knowing how the government works, you have one step forward in a lot of people that are out there.
Well, I what you're saying is not, just reminded me of something that people, and your governor is a really great representative of this, is that public figures become avatars of people that we know, and in a sense, you know, whether they're actual individuals we know, or if it's like an archetype that we're familiar with. And I was just thinking about how Governor Walz has become the archetype for at least people that I know to think about their favorite teacher. So I'm sorry for completely changing the topic, but that's what this reminded me of. And you know, I think that says a remarkable amount about who he is as a human being, as well as a professional. And I think sadly, we're to the point where we need to weigh people's, you know, values and not just their professional accomplishments, not just their policy agenda, but at the top of the ticket, we have, you know, the prosecutor versus the felon. So, you know, private lives have become a little bit more relevant than they maybe had in the past.
Yeah. And the opposite thing of that is people, like you say, that are coming from California to run in Wisconsin don't have that background. And I want to say folksy, but that's not the right word. Legitimate experience with people, whether it's a teacher or that's like you in your work dealing with people one-on-one. And we know the orange one has not really ever been in a normal situation. He's always been in private school. He wrote a book, I heard, that he talked about himself and his hair in one of his 5 or 6 books, that he never left Trump Towers, that he lived there, he never left there, you know, and he did all his work there. And how do you know what people are feeling and what the pulse is of your neighborhood or your nation if you're stuck in your ivory tower, so to speak?
Or your gaudily gold, faux gold-plated tower in the case of the orange one. Absolutely. And to further that point a little further down the road, imagine thinking that is a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That you don't interact with anybody, that you don't have to do things that 99.999% of the planet has to do, and thinking that, you know, that's a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just a completely different mindset, and that's why I think that the change to Vice President Harris as the top of the ticket, I think it throws them completely, because they have never imagined, you know, somebody like the president who put his nation before himself, and they never thought about that being a possibility.
Yeah, and to what you're saying too, that they had to really recover. It was almost 2 weeks before they shook it off and started running again. And that's an amazing statement right there. I want to, because we only have a couple more minutes in this segment, I want to really jump into politics in the next segment. But I also want our listeners out there to know how to get a hold of you and Emerge. Emerge, and then also you were talking generally too about Emerge all over the United States, but specifically Emerge.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for the reminder. I got to plug the org. So you can find us at wi.emergeamerica.org. You can find our national organization at just emergeamerica.org. And if you have any questions, if you are thinking about running for office, even if you're male or female, non-binary, if you have questions about the process, feel free to email me. My email is ARV as in Victor, INA, so Arvina, at emergewi.org.
Awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we get that plug in, because both of us get excited about what's ahead of us.
We do. And Randy.
And we don't have Haley on to straighten me out and send me messages during the show. It's like, ask her what she wants to talk about. That's what Wendy, my wife, always says. Ask her what she wants to talk about. That's a really good idea. Hey, yeah. We're here with Arvina Martin, and we're talking politics, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and all over Turtle Island, and really in Emerge Wisconsin. So we'll be right back after this short break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief, home again.
Touchdown. Starliner is back on Earth. That landing coming at 11:01 and 35 seconds Central Time.
But the problem-plagued Boeing craft landed without the two astronauts it was meant to be carrying from the International Space Station. They're stuck there till February. The White House wants to know how an American woman came to be shot dead while protesting Israeli settlements on the disputed West Bank.
An ambulance carrying Ayla Agee's body left the West Bank for the journey home. Less than a week after she'd arrived.
CBS's Elizabeth Palmer reporting. At the U.S. Open today,
six-seeded American Jessica Pegula bids for her first Grand Slam title when she takes on second-seeded Belarusian Arina Sabalenka. For Pegula, the game plan is simple.
I have to be aggressive. I have to get her moving, serve smart, and, you know, try and put some pressure on her return or on her serve.
CBS's Erica Herskowitz reporting. CBS News Brief. I'm Vicki Barker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers lose in the season opener in more ways than one. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers lost 34-29 to the Philadelphia Eagles. More concerning, however, is the status of quarterback Jordan Love, who was helped off the field with an apparent leg injury late in the game. Head coach Matt LaFleur didn't have any answers immediately following the game.
I don't know.
While the Packers had some bright spots, such as Jaden Reed's big game at receiver, it wasn't enough to slow down the Eagles.
Very disappointed. There was a lot of opportunities out there to win the game. We weren't good enough in the red area. We were plus two winning the football and ultimately didn't score enough points to win the game. I mean, give Philly a ton of credit. They made some big plays.
The Packers are off until September 15th when they'll take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Brewers play the Rockies today, coming off a 3-2 loss yesterday, and the Badgers play South Dakota in football this afternoon. For Civic Media, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the mid to upper 60s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 45. Sunshine, 75 for your Sunday. Sunday night, clear mid 50s. Monday, a little warmer, low 80s on tap, and 82 for Tuesday.
It's 39 at our studios.
Werzer Builders invites you to discover easy living in their 55-plus senior condos conveniently located on Eau Claire's south side in the Timber Bluff neighborhood development. Enjoy quality custom units with well-thought-out floor plans, kitchens with center islands and granite countertops, charming front porches, and outdoor patios with pergolas. Units are two-bedroom, two-bath, come complete with appliances, and start in the 270s. Contact Werzer Builders today for lot availability and building details at info@werzerbuilders.com.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic, and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, our friend from Wisconsin, executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. And this is the time we take off the gloves and start talking politics here nationally. So, and I don't mean you and I fighting, but we're just going to take off the gloves and throw down to our listening audience about what we're thinking and what we're believing in. But I have to ask you something before we get too far into this. I heard, and I don't know if this is true because, you know, I've heard a lot of things and I want to talk to somebody like you that can set me straight. But in 2016, roughly at this time, Hillary was way ahead of Trump, at least in the polls. That talks a little bit about us not being complacent, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton, at this point in 2016 was ahead. I just remembered as well that that her margins were within the margin of error. And that was not something that I noticed or that I had realized until today. Actually, I had seen an article about how she was ahead, yes, but still within that margin of error, and that margin of error being like maybe 3 to 5 points can make things swing. But that is an excellent reminder for all of us to remember that polls are just a snapshot in time. I know I've said that so many times on this show, but just as a reminder, you know, it says something about where we are at this moment, but doesn't necessarily translate into wins this far out, wins or losses, excuse me. So, you know, this is the time to see that Kamala Harris and Governor Walz are kind of on the rise, and that they're doing well. And we want to carry the momentum of excitement forward. So like now is a really great time to volunteer, whether it's going to knock on doors. I mean, registering voters, if that is something that you can do in your state, you know, hosting a house party to watch the debate, that the debate's coming up. We haven't even talked about the debate. But, you know, make sure that you're trying to help keep this enthusiasm up and keep it moving forward so that we can translate this into votes at the polls, whether it is on election day or early voting in your state.
You know, and we plan, Wendy and I plan on voting early so we can help people, and I guess have a plan, right? Isn't that one of the themes we had at the DNC?
Absolutely, having a plan is so important. And anybody that talks to me within a couple of weeks, like on the phone or in person, gets my same spiel about planning their vote. And so I will ask them, "Are you registered to vote?" "Yes." "Oh, great. When do you usually vote? Do you vote before work or after work?" And then they answer, and you say, "Oh, you vote after work. Do you do it on your way home, or do you do it after dinner?" Or, you know, you get them to really think about what they're doing and how what things they need to do in order to get to their polling place on election day and make sure that their votes are counted that night. You know, the research shows that getting folks to talk about it really increases their propensity to actually get out and cast their ballot.
Yeah, and we got to remind our young ones too, whether they're bringing their aunties to the polls or they are going for their first time, we really applaud you and thank you. And like we were talking a little bit about politicians, this is the same thing. Your vote really does matter. And, you know, I've been really on a tangent lately, Arvina, about, you know, schools teaching teaching political science from day one, as they do math and science, because I don't know where this started or if it never was, but, you know, the secret sauce is that we have 50-some% of the people that aren't voting and don't and feel like their vote doesn't count.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important for all of us that recognize the importance of voting for Vice President Harris and Tim Walz to make sure that we are being inclusive of those folks that maybe have never voted or that vote sporadically. I mean, this is going to be a vote where every single vote counts. In 2020, the Wisconsin vote or the vote went to Biden by about 20,000 votes. That's not a lot. That's less than 3 votes per ward.
Wow.
Yeah. And Indian Country can make that difference in a second. We just need to show up and do what we need to do and vote with our values and the things that are important to us. as Native people and figure out where that aligns.
And again, we talked a little bit earlier about Project 2025 being an assault on our sovereignty. And that's something that we need to let our relatives know that don't know that this is important and the big picture is important. And I've always said, Arvina, that we can, you know, I'm not a one issue voter.
Yeah.
I was maybe when I was younger, but I see the big picture, and especially with our Governor Walz, who, you know, did a few things that, you know, Indian country didn't like. But the big picture is all the bills that we do like and that we were able to push our Democratic relatives more progressively.
Absolutely. And we also have to remember that we are in a, you know, two-party, first-past-the-post election system. And so that it is always going to be whoever wins the best out of two. You know, as much as we would love to have ranked choice voting everywhere, that's not the case. And so you really do have two options, functionally have two options. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I worry about, you know, people in states where that are maybe swing states that think that, you know, having a protest vote is the most appropriate way to use their ballot. And that is between that person and you know, whoever they choose to include in that decision. But at the same time, you know, just thinking about all of the things that are important to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, as human beings, as Indigenous, as Native people, you know, we work together.
Right.
And the me that is Donald Trump is mm-hmm. never going to understand that. And how could he then understand anything about tribal sovereignty and how we function when he doesn't understand the very basic principles of who we are? You know,
exactly. I'm excited, and we're both excited, and that's why we're like just gabbing, but you know, it makes good radio. But I'm excited again. I love to bring up these positive things, like last time I heard it was $540 million that went into the vice president's coffers for election. I heard something like 45,000 people in Wisconsin, again, correct me, signed up to help with this election right after the vice president was deemed our next running person. And that kind of stuff I keep in the forefront of my head. It's us older people and the people out there say, oh, we don't need to vote. We do. And the young ones are, and they're going to say, Gen Z is going to save us again.
Gen Z has it together. I will not stand for anybody talking trash about Gen Z as an ex-ennial, the cusp of ex and millennials. Yeah, they've really got it together, and their participation in this election is going to be tremendously important. You know, we know generally how young Americans tend to skew when they vote, and really having this progressive vision for the future, I think is going to be, you know, a new demographic that everybody's going to want to get is mm-hmm. that Gen Z, because once they prove that they're engaged as young folks, you know, they're just going to stay engaged, and that's going to potentially change like the face of politics in the United States. It has the potential to, and this is not to put all the onus on our Gen X siblings and relatives. Yeah. You know, we all still have to do our parts as well. But to the point that you were making about, you know, 43,000 volunteers for Wisconsin Democrats. Remember when I just said that it was 20,000? This is more than twice as many people who want to volunteer. And you know, imagine the impact if each of those 43,000 people get three people to vote that weren't going to vote otherwise.
Like it'll be a landslide.
It'll be huge. And it'll be not just, you know, potentially a huge margin of victory, but a solid, you know, representation of what the state wants, what the nation mm-hmm. wants, what we all, you know, as Americans want, as opposed to votes with low turnout when you can't really extrapolate what people support if they don't show up.
I just had a sneezing fit there, Arvina.
I wasn't sure if I should say something or just leave it.
Well, this is live radio and how it works. I really, really appreciate you spending time with us, and the excitement's there, and we got to keep it up. And I just got to say this before I let you go. AM 950, which is the station that I broadcast from, and of course all over civic media and all over the United States here, we're having a watch party on the 10th, and I just got to remind people, we'll be there, and we're going to watch, you know, the crook go down by the prosecutor. Oh, hey, yep. Thanks again, Arvina.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, right on. That was Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio with Wendy with the sacred animal portion. Stay with us.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Hey, we're here with our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake. You guys have to say that real quick once. And then also Solar Bear with the Solar News. And before we get going, Bob, I want to congratulate you on another award. I feel like I'm every time you get an award, I feel like I got an award. So congratulations.
Yeah, that was from the World Resources Institute and the Basel's Earth Fund around the electrification of, you know, the EV charging network. And, you know, they mentioned the training of the Returning Citizens Initiative with the inmates on solar installations in the prison system, and they were just telling about all this stuff. And I was like, you know, it's hard too, right, Robert, because the seven grandfather the seven grandfather teachings and everything, it's like, you got to have humility and you can't be bragging, right. You know, it's like, it's so hard for our people. Right. But I know that we have to let people know that we're still here and everything, but it's, I just like have so much hard time with that, but I do appreciate it. And I do feel great that they want to recognize work. And I've gotten some great contacts out there for some more work to happen with the electric school buses for the kids around tribal country. And, you know, this is turning into now a national you know, effort around the charging stations and the electric bikes and the glow in the dark bike pass that we want to do in Travel Country, and all the stuff that's happening has just been really crazy. And so I'm really getting some folks that are really excited to support this work. And I'm very appreciative of those foundations, such as the Bezos Earth Fund and others out there that want to help Solar Bear, Native Sun, implement all this stuff. So, yeah, thank you, Robert. I really do appreciate it.
It's amazing. You know, we don't talk about your brother a lot, but I know Bill would be busting his buttons if he were still with us. And I believe he is still with us.
It was Bill that, you know, I thought I was going to be a cop. I just thought I was going to be a cop. I thought I was going to be a cop like Bill. I thought that's what I was going to do with my life. And then, they were like, hey, Bob, we're going to hire you, but we don't have money right now. So you're going to have to just find something else to do for a while. And I went back to school and took a course on renewable energy and got hooked, and the rest is history. And I was like, I can't stop this. I don't want to be a cop anymore. I think there's other ways to help our people and consequently the planet. And I just felt like this was just a far more righteous cause to dedicate my life to. And so I'm so happy, though, Robert, to this day. Not that I wouldn't want to serve the people of Minneapolis and be a police officer, do the same things that my brother and my uncle and my cousin, Bob, Robert Thunder, out there right now, patrolling the streets of Minneapolis right now. You know, big shout out to him and for all the great work that he does. But, you know, I just love what I do. And I'm so happy, Robert, that I found this path in my life. And I'm so thankful to the Creator that he put this in front of me. So. Yeah.
Just think, I hired you for a weekend too, made you drive to Iowa and hand out t-shirts to people I didn't want you to hand them out to. And we had press passes and what was yours? Key Grip or Best Boy?
I was Best Boy, wasn't I? Oh, I thought I was Best Boy. I think I was Best Boy. I was like, we had such a good time though.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, like, you know, the studio, like, we started this, like, you told me to come on in the studio. We're like, can you just talk about renewable energy and climate change and environmental justice? And I was like, okay. And we just wung it and it turned into, you know, and everybody just got interested now. And all of you, thank you for listening to the program and supporting all this, because it just has evolved over the years. It's been years now, Robert. And
yeah.
Like, I just to see where, like, the solar industry has come, the renewable energy industry, and all this environmental justice work. And, you know, we were talking about all this stuff before it really, you know, I mean, it was happening, but it wasn't, you know what I'm saying, the way it is now.
Yeah, well,
it's on steroids.
This is our eighth year, and you were on the first year. So,
yeah. I can't believe. And Robert, which I think is a perfect segue into the brand new solar data sheet, Robert. This just came out, and this is put out by the Solar Energy Industry Association. I just want to give some statistics out there, Robert. There are 263,883 people across Turtle Island, right across the country, United States right now, that are employed by the solar industry. And I think that's incredible. I remember when this thing was down in like the, you know, 90,000 range or something. Like, I remember
that was a big deal. And that was a big deal at 90,000.
Exactly. Today, over 6% of U.S. electricity comes from solar energy, almost six times its share a decade ago. A decade ago, Robert. This was 2 years. I mean, this is 2 years before, like, you know, we started doing this together. I mean, that's how far this has come. I just think that's incredible. Number of businesses in the U.S., 10,000 plus businesses. So everyone, you know, your dollars do matter, and who you spend them with. And with those corporations that are switching to renewable energy, they need to lead the way. And we need to be able to spend our dollars at those places that are doing this. And just let me just give you a few. Meta is number one. Amazon is number two. Apple is number three. Walmart is four. Microsoft is five. Target is six. Cargill is seven. Remember Cargill, everybody. That's going to come up in a future conversation. I'm just throwing it out there, everybody. Kaiser Permanente, AB, Anheuser-Busch, and EVOS North America. So those are the top 10 corporate users of renewable energy. There is enough solar energy installed in the U.S. to power 36.1 million households. In 2023, a new solar project was installed every 39 seconds. Every 39 seconds, everyone. Carbon emissions reduced 222 million metric tons annually, equivalent to 53 million vehicles off the road, 25 billion gallons of gas not used, everyone. So remember, the whole concept of the Electric Tribal Nation project, right, the EV project, was to explain to the fossil fuel industry that, you know, they can build these pipelines, right? But, you know, they're going to win the battle, but they're not going to win the war, right? And this is a perfect example of this happening because 25 billion gallons of gas is not used. 3.7 billion trees planted. This is the equivalent of shutting 57 coal-fired plants, Robert. In 2023, solar became the first renewable technology in 80 years to make up the majority of additions to the U.S. grid, accounting for 55% of all new generating capacity. This is remarkable how much this technology, Robert, has come down in price. This is on par with natural gas. And I mean, this is going to be the future for the country. And we can put solar everywhere. Anyone can learn how to do this. And that's the exciting thing. It's so democratic. And so that's why I love doing this work. And Robert, that is the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
Big Peeny Gigi, thank you. And again, congratulations. And thank you so much for coming on all these years. It's been just fun hanging out and watching us both grow.
Yes. And like I said, Robert, get out and vote, get out and run for office, get out and start a company, get out and start a nonprofit. We're Native. Get out and get advanced college degrees. Robert, you're such an inspiration. I've done all that. I've listened to your advice. And I suggest everyone else do the same.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome former State Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen to the program to talk about his new book and great foundation helping Wisconsinites. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The first highly anticipated debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is Tuesday night, September 10th.
Listen here as the presidential candidates address issues important to you.
It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country.
I know what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against something. We're fighting for.
Special coverage with detailed insights starts at 7:30 p.m.
Then listen to the ABC presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, September 10th on your local Civic Media radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Vicki Barker. Foiled what could have been a major terror attack in New York.
The FBI says 20-year-old Mohammed Khan, a Pakistani citizen living in Canada, had one goal, to kill as many Jewish people as possible. And his plot was timed to the one-year anniversary of the October 7 Hamas terror attacks because he thought there would be bigger crowds at memorials and protests. Now, the FBI says they've had their eye on Khan for nearly a year. They say he expressed support for ISIS on social media, and just 3 weeks ago, he chose his target, a Jewish religious center in Brooklyn.
CBS's Michael George reporting. Kamala Harris is in swing state Pennsylvania today, preparing for next week's debate with Republican rival Donald Trump. CBS's Weijia Jiang has that.
Vice President Harris is huddling with a team of advisors as she sharpens her case against Donald Trump, who she will come face to face with for the first time ever on debate night. A campaign official says she decided to hunker down and prepare here in Pennsylvania to underscore the importance of this state in the election. The latest CBS News battleground tracker shows that she and former President Donald Trump are virtually tied here with 50% each of the vote.
Donald Trump's one-time rival Nikki Haley says she'll fight his corner if he asks. Asked by CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Are you going to campaign for him?
He knows I'm on standby. He's aware that I'm ready if he ever needs me to do that. This election is important. There's a lot at stake. I look at it from the standpoint of a voter. I worry about my kids.